basically the podcast has been done in a green room surrounded by eerie violin cases. It's been done on the street. It's been done God, I'm trying to think where else. Back in some clubbing room in a place I never knew existed. But this week, well, this month, the podcast is in someone's kitchen, and that someone is sat with me here right now. His name is Rich Legate. He assures me it's not French, but it could be if you want to think of him in that way. So imagine Rich Legate sat opposite me now with garlic and onions around himself, stripy Breton t-shirt and a beret. Bonjour, Rich.
Bonjour.
How are you doing?
Yeah, good, thanks very much. Welcome to my kitchen.
Thank you. I was going to say welcome to the Get Frank podcast, but this week it's actually slightly different. I should call it the Leave First podcast, because that's what we're here to talk about today. Basically, we're going to play some of the music that's going to be heard at the festival, and we're also going to talk a bit about it. But I thought, as this is mostly a music podcast, let's kick off with the first track. And I haven't chosen any of these tracks today. Rich has chosen it all, which has saved me a lot of legwork, that's what I'm going to say. So who's the first band?
Okay, the first band are a band called Fraser. They're from North London, but also via Malta. It's a song called Late on the Line, and it was their last single, and I know they're preparing another one. It's just simply a pop song, and I think it's a nice one to get underway with.
Good, because the video for this one features My Ends in a Bethnal Green and Shoreditch. I very much enjoyed it, so let's hear the track. was Lay It on the Line by Fraser on the Get Frank podcast. If you've only just tuned in, which is a bit odd because this isn't live radio, but if you have fast-forwarded through my bumbling introduction, my name is Frankie Ward and I'm joined by Rich from Lee Fest. Now, the band we just heard, Fraser, are actually playing at Lee Fest, as are all the bands that we're playing on the podcast today. So let's talk a bit about how Lee Fest actually began, Rich.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure really whose idea it was in the first place, because I probably wasn't actually Lee's, contradictory to the actual name, but it did happen in his garden. This was 2006, if you can imagine it. If I'm 23, so this was about 17, 18, and I think we were on like summer holidays or something between sixth form years or something like that, and we thought we'd do a festival in Lee's garden as a bit of a joke. It was all quite tongue-in-cheek, all a bit like ironic, a bit of a festival satire, you know, and like one of our friends was going to do a map for his garden, which, believe it or not, it sounds like, you know, must have a huge garden, but it's not that big. So that's how it all started, bit of a fun joke really kind of event. Parents were away and we just got loads of people we knew to come and play. Our friend James played his clarinet. It was pretty weird. A guy called Finley came down and played his saxophone, and then 5 years later he came back and DJed as Starsmith. And after producing Ellie Goulding's album and working with Kylie and doing all sorts of amazing projects, so that's kind of like how the festival's gone from one bit to like completely different environment in 5 years.
I was going to ask, are there any bands that you put on early on in the festival's history that have now gone on to big bright things?
Yeah, well, Finley is kind of like our, I don't know what you call it, like our shining star really. He probably quite embarrassed for me talking about him like this, but yeah, he was there like playing his saxophone with his friend Charlie, and then all of a sudden he kind of left school. I don't think he went to uni, I can't remember, but he ended up writing songs and then found a really good knack of producing, and all of a sudden he was doing stuff with this girl called Ellie Goulding, and then I put two and two together and it's like, wow man, that's amazing. So he came and DJed for us like last year, and the year before he did like a live show, and we've had other bands who have just developed very slowly over time, and people have kind of amalgamation of bands from this area that have kind of born into other things that fortunately enough I've been a part of, and we'll talk about that later perhaps. But no one else really. I think what we've kind of tried to start with the festival, since it's gone a little bit more big and a bit more official, is to pick bands that hopefully will last, you know, the test of time, so that maybe in a few years time, if we were talking again, it'd be like, oh yeah, we had those guys on in 2011 2010 and now they're onto their like second record or whatever.
That's one of the great things also about where we are right now, which is Bromley. So we're on the edges of Kent going into London. Kent is suddenly becoming the place to go for festivals, and no one knows it yet, but you've got Lounge on the Farm Festival, which is one of my personal favourites. You've got Hot Farm Festival, and now you've got Lee Fest as well. And they've all been kind of growing at the same rate. In fact, Lee Fest might be older than both Hot Farm Festival and Lounge on the Farm.
Yeah, it's definitely not been going longer than Hot Farm. Obviously, Vince Power, who does Hot Farm, is, you know, pretty sorted out with putting on gigs, like it's from his Mean Fiddler history, so he's got that down. But Hop Farm's a really young festival, but it's just booking amazing acts and for a lot of people in Kent. But Kent's a pretty affluent area and people here are quite happy to go to festivals. It's a little bit scary how many there is, perhaps a bit reckless for us to like try and furrow our way in, but I reckon, you know, we've got a really unique product when people get there. It's just the fact that it's another festival that's quite scary because it's very busy market right now. But Lounge on the Farm is another good example. Is that Canterbury, isn't it?
And Merton Farm in Canterbury.
Yeah, and that's a really successful festival with bands who really like playing there, and I always like hear from people who go that they enjoy it.
One of the great things about Lee Fest is that it gives the opportunity for established artists and for newer emerging artists to mix together on stage. And we're going to play another one of those new emerging artists now, I believe. So who are we going to play?
Yeah, this is Penn Gillies. Slightly different to a lot of the bands that we've got on who use guitars, because although I know they have guitars in their music, it's just so heavily led by kind of orchestral, I say. I'm trying to use fancy words here. It's more of a kind of classical sounding instruments. They've got a cello and things like that in there.
Big string section, and you've got a nice sort of choral vocal effect.
Yeah, the choral vocal is like breathtaking when you see it live. I know where they launched their recent EP in Leeds. They did it in this kind of like chapel, and they had a full choir do perform like a almost like a prologue to the concert. It was you know, which is really cool. And they've got some just beautiful songs, really well written lyrics. And this track, Toby's Hill, was the title of their new EP.
Gillies, who you can see at Leaf Fest, and I'm joined by Rich from Leaf Fest right now just to talk about the festival, what it's about, why you should go, because it's on the 12th and 13th of August and it's only £50 for a weekend plus camping ticket, £55.
55.
I apologise. I'm doing this like it's live. We're not even going to retake that. Yeah, exactly. It's around £50. Nice. It's not 60 anyway. So that's why you should go. And there are other reasons why you should go as well, because it's for charity, isn't that right?
Yeah, that's right. Well, it was like coming back to when we started the festival that we're doing it for a bit of a laugh. It was a bit silly. Because just a group of people, group of friends, have always been quite proactive about doing things and just trying to make the most of like the time for spare time we had. So we weren't really factoring in any sort of business plan, or perhaps, you know, it might have helped if we had done back then, but we hadn't. And we just kind of raised a bit of money to kind of, you know, make the event a little bit more attractive to people to come along and make the community feel of it a little bit stronger too. So we supported a various number of charities in the first couple of years. So we were in the garden for the first 2 years, and then the third year I wasn't really involved. I you know, just to show how we weren't taking it that seriously, I booked like some traveling and that summer, and I just didn't think the festival would happen, because it's like, oh, we've done it 2 years and we don't really know what to do with it now, like, but it did. I went away and came back and it all happened. So Lee and a couple of other guys, Alex and Andy, found this great charity in South London, which is relatively nearby really, in Camberwell, called Kids Company. And we just started looking at it and what they were doing and what were they were trying to kind of help young people with, and it seemed like the perfect thing for us to go with.
Well, let's hear another track. Track number 3 on the Get Frank Meets Lee Fest podcast. Who have you got for us?
Right. This next track is from a band called Loose Talk Costs Lives. It's called Wreck Ashore. They've got a EP coming out on August the 8th, but this is something you can get, you know, today, and you don't have to wait for it.
Bye.
Loose Talk Costs Lives, and their track Wreckershaw. And that voice you just heard was Rich, as I've already introduced him in the podcast so far. For some reason, I do approach this podcast as if it's a live show and you've only just joined us. It might be actually the case that you've just fast forwarded halfway through the podcast, so you might have just joined us, to be perfectly honest. So if you just joined us, hello, you are listening to the Get Frank podcast, and it's a Lee Fest special. So Rich, when you're coming to book the band, is there anything you can offer them as a sweetener, because obviously it's a charity event, or do you have to pay them? How does it work?
Sweeteners we do with bands, really. We just try to approach them as as humanly as possible and try and play upon the fact that, you know, tell them the story and use the story of the festival, and hopefully relate that to a fact that I know, as someone who's been in bands, like what it's like to be in a band, which is quite similar as well. You spend a lot of years doing a lot of things you don't really get any recognition for, and then finally, if you're very fortunate and you have a stroke of luck, the pendulum swings the other way, and people are looking after you and doing things for you instead, and you are getting paid to do gigs, and there are more than just a couple of people and a dog at the venue, and it always changes. And you know, with the festival, you don't really get picked up by somebody like you get signed, but we do have to try and like relate the fact that the first part of their story, which was the bit where they were doing gigs for nothing. Is very similar to what we're doing, and we appeal to more people with a bit of a DIY ethos. People like the Futureheads, who played last year, really picked up on that, and they really appreciate the kind of small nucleus that the festival came from. But someone like Frank Turner, the Futureheads, people like that have that ethos that we kind of believe in. And British Sea Power this year are a band who kind of pick unique venues, you know, and like certain gigs that they are going to do. They played at Jodrell Bank, which is, I think, the largest satellite in Europe. And that's like a weird venue that they've picked to play, and it's a little bit more left field, and they did that with Flaming Lips. And they do shows like that, similar to Wild Beasts and other bands who take a little bit more care in where and when they play.
So looking back at previous years of Lee Fest, who would you say your favourite act have been?
The second year, 2007, we booked, we didn't book, we kind of sent a MySpace message to a hip-hop like group called Parchbench Politics, and they came and played in Lee's Garden, and it was amazing. It was really, really funny, and they went down really well. I remember that from like the first little bit. Johnny Foreigner were a band who I like really liked and respected, and I thought they had really good music and great show and stuff like that, and they came and I was like blown away by what I saw of them.
Who are you most looking forward to from the lineup this year?
The bands I've got to know most in the time building up to them, becoming more into them as the days go by, Miss Scarlet, Fraser, and Stanley Black. So I've all like just started listening to their stuff as much as I can. Really interested. I think I'm most looking forward to seeing Dinosaur Pile Up on Saturday, because mainly when I was younger, and still now, I just harbour a really big love for massive riffs and just that really full, well kind of captured rock style. And Dinosaur Pile Up is just a free piece, in case you don't know, from Yorkshire. And they've just got, it's like a grunge revival, but it's just done with so much fun and like energy and excitement, that where I might normally stop and just be like, this just is just Nirvana or Foo Fighters or something like that, I don't. I'm just like, this is flipping great, and the songs are very good, and Matt Singer's got a really, really good voice, which just helps, and it's amazing, and I can't wait. It's going to be so loud and just brilliant.
Well, let's listen to one of the aforementioned acts now. Who have you got for us?
Just mentioned them, actually. Stanley Blacks. They're from Surrey, from Guildford. There's four of them in the band, and they've just released a video to this song, actually. It's called Everest, and I'm just also a sucker for a great chorus, and I really like the chorus to this song, and gradually have just become quite hooked to it. They've got some great other songs out. I think there's one called Cavalry as well. They're opening the main stage on Saturday, so it's well worth getting down early to see these guys. Stanley Brax is the name of the band, and the song is called Everest.
Okay, here we go. I confess I wasn't perfect, but you're seeping for you. Darling, darling, I'm trying, but my reasons are falling down the slopes of Everest.
Everest by Stanley Blacks, one of the bands who are playing at Leaf Fest. And we're still talking Leaf Fest, of course, because it's the Get Frank Leaf Fest podcast special. And Rich is with me now. He's been curating the lineup for this year. But I want to talk about something that's close to my heart, which would be camping, cleanliness, toilets.
Right.
I know that the very first festival had one toilet, which was Lee's mum's.
Yeah.
And then the next year you had a portaloo. And then it's kind of gone on from there as you moved into fields and now onto a farm. What is the toilet situation?
Right, yeah. Lee kind of like spun this one along. It's a kind of funny way of measuring like the trajectory of the success of the festival. So we kind of like quantify that. I sound like a statistician, something like that.
Just a mathematician, let's let, a maths person.
Yeah, a geek. And he kind of just started like noting down how many we had, and it all kind of, because for the second year it was an ironic gesture to stick a portaloo in the drive like a festival. So the situation here is I think we might have underplayed it a little bit with toilets last year, so we've gone big style, and I know that there's enough toilets for everybody to have like a comfortable time at the festival. But we've also got a private toilet, which we're auctioning off right now.
I've
so that
heard,
for those
yes.
who are a little bit more sensitive, like can have their own like toilet, and all the money raised from the auctions going to Kids Company too. And that was actually Andy Lee's brother's idea, which I think was quite a nice idea, really.
He's a VIP person.
Yeah, apparently, yeah. So yeah, that toilet will be on site and have like a red carpet. But I wasn't personally keen on the red carpet because I think all the toilets are great, so... That's the public line.
So how many toilets have you actually got? Because if it's 2,000 capacity, how many toilets is that, you know, how many people to a toilet?
I can't actually reveal the number of toilets because that is a... Lee likes to announce that, and I'm going to keep
really?
That secret.
Are you
but
kidding me?
I can tell you what the licensing rules are regarding toilets. And I think, underline think there, it's like you have to have one toilet for every 100 person. Now, I don't know if that sounds right, and can hear production manager Alex now screaming at me, but it's something like that. But
so you have to have at least 20 toilets.
Yeah, but there won't be. I think it's beyond 20 by quite some way.
Good.
And they're all going to be because it's 2 days for the first time, they're all going to be cleaned overnight as well. So they'll be spick and span in the morning. So if you get up really early, you can have a lovely wee. The campsite is something we put a lot of effort in this year specifically to building up because it being 2 days, and we wanted to make it really special because we really want people to stay for the whole festival and get that whole experience out of it, because you'll know from going to festivals, like, you don't really get the true experience unless you go for the whole thing. And the campsite, well, we've put like a cinema in there that's going to be showing, the first film I know it's going to be showing is The Big Lebowski, but we put something out on Facebook, like, just see what other films people wanted to put on in there. and we got loads of really great suggestions. So that's going to be running during the night. There's like a 24-hour bakery with like all sorts of bits and pieces in it. Also, obviously, the normal food and drink and a little shop as well. And Lee's dad also puts on a campfire both nights, a huge campfire right in the middle of the site, so we can like bring everyone together and you just sit around it on like big beams of wood and stuff like that. It's going to be very relaxed. We've also got like a family area in the corner as well, so that's just for families, especially like just parents who've got young children who still want to go to festivals and want to take their kids to. And that's going to be somewhere that they can have that will be a little bit quieter, hopefully, and just a little bit maybe away from like all the raucousness maybe of a festival campsite.
So where can you get tickets from?
We can get them online, obviously, at the website, which is leefest.org.uk. But we've also got a few record shops supporting this year. Ape Records, which is in Brighton and Tunbridge Wells. We've got Head Records in Bromley, which is like our flagship like in-store place to get your tickets. And they've been really great this year.
And before we go, you're actually in one of the bands that are playing.
Yeah, a bit awkward that.
but there are about 9 people in this band, aren't there? Yeah. So it's not
I'm
so awkward.
I'm pretty much just there to play the notes, you know, if you see what I mean. The band is Professor Penguin, which is essentially Johnny Abraham's songs and his music that he's put together, and it's absolutely amazing. He's just asked me to play guitar, which I'm flattered to do. He would be there even if it was just him and a guitar, let alone me playing. So the songs, hopefully people love them and we'll get into it. Professor Penguin's been going for about a year and a bit now, and Johnny's just been working really hard with the album, which is called Planes, and the track that we're going to end with is called Pilot, and I think it's one of the first ones that Johnny ever played to me and was just like, do you want to play guitar? And you know, and apparently Brian Eno really likes this song, which Johnny told me, and it's the first track on the album as well. So it's kind of like a nice way to come full circle for me, really, the festival.
Well, if Brian Eno is listening to this podcast right now, Brian Eno, head to leefest.org.uk, buy your tickets for Leefest, which is the 12th and 13th of August, and I'll see you down the front when Professor Penguin are playing. Right, well, thank you very much for joining me, Rich, and hopefully I'll see you at Leefest.
Thank you very much, family.
This is your first goal and the start of your life. As you reach into the clouds, as you take off in flight. Never have known you'd be scaling the globe from the sky. You're touching the air. Holding them up in the air with your hands, gripping tight round leather bound arms. This is your first goal and the start of your life. As you reach into the clouds, as you take off in flight.